Welcome to the Fence End Podcast. Simon here with Fraser and Liam. How are we, gentlemen?
Yeah, all right, thanks. Yeah.
What are you grinning at, Simon?
No, I'm not.
I just happened.
Yeah. Well, you know, 2-4-0s. First time that's happened since 1834 or whenever it was, apparently. So, which is good.
Yeah, is it 40 years? That's what they said on the day.
Something like that, yeah. Which is
ridiculous. So, Fraser and I haven't seen that.
No.
What was it like then, Simon?
Oh,
everything were rubbish.
The town crier informed Simon.
Yes, yeah, oh yeah, no internet. The printed sheet had only just become a thing, you know.
But also 3 clean sheets in 4 games. Yeah. And I don't think that's been spoken about much. When was the last time we had 2 in 10 games? Like, our clean sheets have been few and far between. And it's all well and good going, yeah, but look who we played against. We've been conceding left, right and centre to any team we've played against.
Yeah.
So keeping those clean sheets is a big thing. And I think that can be talked about. Yeah, it's brilliant that we scored 4 in those last 2, in each of the last 2. But the clean sheets are important.
It's funny you should say that, because the Sky Bet League One Twitter account here is the Who Scored Team of the Week. And we've got 6 players in the Team of the Week, including the whole of the back 4. So I think that's, you know, added to that, Murphy and Harris. But bizarrely, with 6 players in the team, the manager doesn't get Manager of the Week. So hey-ho. But you're absolutely right. I think those clean sheets are perhaps as important as the fact that we're scoring a lot of goals.
Yeah, I mean, the defensive record is kind of the thing that's mostly let us down this year, in that if you look at the league table, which I am doing right now, we have conceded 53 goals, which sticks out like a sore thumb in amongst that group of teams. I mean, the team below us, Lincoln, who I'm sure we'll talk about soon, have conceded 18 fewer than that, so they're down on 35. So it does seem to be the thing that's we've been quite poor on this season. Here we are, 6th, and I don't want to say in the driving seat for a playoff spot. That's a bit too far. We're kind of in the driveway.
We've had a look at a car we like.
Yeah,
that's where we are.
Yeah,
but it is. It's true that it is still in our own hands. You know, before a couple of weeks back, it wasn't. We were at that point relying, although we were on the same points as Lincoln, their goal difference was much better. So, you know, if they win all their games, they would have been ahead of us, regardless of what we did. With the results at the weekend, we're now in a position where it's in our hands. And that, I guess, with 4 games left, that's all you can ask for, isn't it? I mean, at the start of the season, we'd have absolutely taken that. And perhaps, only a few weeks ago, we would have absolutely taken that. So it's
full-time at Bolton, I was absolutely convinced there's not a chance.
Mid-table finish, if we're lucky.
Maybe we'll get a couple more wins this season, but we're pretty much done. I mean, the psychological low after that you think the team would have been through, you just thought, well, you know, there's nothing else going to happen here this season. And, you know, I guess we were talking about this before we started recording, but a lot's being said about the opposition we've played in the last few days being, easy opposition. And I get where that's coming from, that we've played 3 sides who, you know, have not done well this season. I think one of them is in the relegation zone. 2 of them are, I don't know.
But two of them are now. We put Burton into it.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and you hear this thing a lot about in the last few weeks. You know, you've got to look at who we've got those points against, and they're not very good sides. But you know, that's a league season. There are good sides and bad sides. You know, a lot of the points that Portsmouth, Bolton, Derby, Peterborough have got this season have come against sides who aren't very good. That's always been a league season. And we're playing these teams because in a league, everyone plays everyone twice, and it's our turn to play these ones now. It's all part of the where we finish at the end of the season, isn't it?
Yeah, it's interesting what you mentioned about form tables and playing teams that are around you or below you and all of this sort of stuff. And it was something I looked at. I looked at the, there's a really good website, soccerstats.com, and they do a last 4, 6, 8, 10, and 12 form table. And when Lincoln were on that fantastic run, and on the form tables, it shows their opponents' points per game. So at that point, you know, you're right, the last four games, our opponents' points per game has only been 1.06. But over that sort of period of time that Lincoln were on a great run, the opponents' was only 1.19, still very low. You know, it's where ours over that same period of time was 1.34. So we were playing better sides than them. Yeah, they were getting better results, but hey-ho. You're right. In the last four games, we are top of the form table on goal difference from Lincoln. So it's, you know, they're tight. And you're absolutely right. Yeah, Stevenage, 3 points from the last four games. So you.
The other thing that I think when you look at form and things like that, I mentioned this after recording, I wasn't at the game. And I think I've said it to you guys as well. Before this last four games, how many times have we come into a match thinking, oh, they're on a bad run of form this season? I think everyone we've come up to play, like Pompey a few months ago, when we came up to play them, they had a horrible run. About three games before we played them, they started winning again. Like absolutely everyone has come into form until we've been about to play them, like as we've come in to play them. And Jerome, I'd said Bristol Rovers are the only ones I could think of that were in a bad run of form when we played them. And Jerome said, and Burton, which is still the case now. But that's it. Of the 23 teams, there were two people that do watch most of the games and keep up sort of quite a lot with the stats and that sort of thing. And we could think of two teams that we've played that were in a bad run of form as we played them. And we've not done badly this season. So by all means, look at these last four games and go, yeah, but who were we against? We deserve that. That's how it goes. As you say, Fraser, it's a league season and you'll play teams that are in form and teams that aren't. And our teams that aren't just happen to sort of be next to each other. You can't take, there's no way we could beat Portsmouth at the weekend because we weren't playing them. We were playing Burton. That's the only team we can beat. You can't then go, well, yeah, but it's only Burton. We've lost to Burton before. We've lost to teams at the bottom of the table before. I remember losing to Bury twice in a season that they only got like a handful of points.
Oh, that was pain.
And we were two of their wins. So, yeah, anyone sort of taking away that, I disagree with. Not anyone. I'm sure some people could convince me, but you know what I mean.
If NASA got involved or something. Taking them one by one, Simon, were you at Shrewsbury?
I was. Yes.
Sorry, Liam, you might have been as well, but I just know Simon goes to pretty much every game.
I've been working in Cornwall. Okay. So, yeah, I got to keep up to date with it on Twitter, but the signal was terrible. And then managed to listen in to the radio afterwards.
Okay. Tell us about Shrewsbury, Simon.
Played okay. Should have won the game. We've shipped, you know, up until recently, lost points from winning positions on a too regular basis. I didn't think we played too badly. But those sort of familiar failings of, yeah, not hanging on to a lead and not taking the chances that we did create. You know, we had enough chances to win the game fairly convincingly, didn't take them. I don't know, I haven't looked, but I expect the XG was quite high for us in that game because they were good chances and we just didn't put the ball in the back of the net. That's about it, really. Nice day out. Shrewsbury's nice.
It was the first of the, a lot of people, you know, including myself on this podcast, we'd identified the three games coming up, you know, in contrast to the three that were going to follow it in terms of where those teams were and thought, you know, this is where we should really get nine. It was really frustrating the end of that game because it felt like, right, Shrewsbury, this is our mini season now. And we just started it as same old Oxford again, doing the same errors we've done all season. And I felt really dejected after that draw. I just thought, oh, I just can't bother with this. And, you know, then 4-0 happened and I was back on side. Were you both at Fleetwood?
Yeah, I thought a dominant. One or two people said they didn't think we started particularly well. I'm not that sure. You know, it's one of those sort of everyone settling into the game. But I thought once we got, certainly the first goal, we then took control. Once we had the second goal, it was a very, very sort of a controlled performance. You know, we didn't go gung-ho at any point. At 4-0 up, I did hear somebody shout to our goal. We were 4-0 up, deep into added time, and we took our time over a goal kick, and somebody was shouting, hurry up! I'm thinking, what, you know, we're 4-0 up. There's, no, don't hurry up. We controlled it very well, and yeah, a really impressive performance.
Yeah, I think Fleetwood had a chance just before we scored. First.
Yeah, did they ever, yeah.
Should have been a free kick.
That was pretty,
absolutely.
That was. I got my one there.
But you know, that's how a season goes. You get those who move on as quickly as you can, and we capitalised on our chances, and that's sort of how it went. Good to see Harris back in the goals. What's he up to now? Is it 17?
17, yeah, 17. Yeah, he needs
in all
more
competitions. Points.
Yeah.
I mean, even if he doesn't score again in the next four games, which hopefully he will, because it will put us in good stead, a return of 17 on someone's first season, you would go, well, that's decent. Bear in mind, he didn't score for four of those months. Yeah.
And I don't think it's harsh to say that nobody was jumping for joy the day we signed Mark Harris. Nobody was sort of annoyed about it, but it wasn't like a, you know, everyone wants this kind of big marquee, big money signing striker, don't they? And it was Jack Marriott last summer who everyone wanted in that role, just because he kind of sounds the part, he looks the part, he's got a goal scoring record. And, you know, I think most people might be, you know, helping themselves to a small lie if they say they tracked the career of Mark Harris up until he came to Oxford. I certainly wasn't familiar with him, but he's really proved himself this year. And like you say, Liam, I think it was, how many games was it he didn't score? It was a lot. It was
basically September, October, November, December, because it was up until the end of January he had only scored in transfer windows.
Wow!
So from the end of August he didn't score until then. Yeah,
the New Year's Day
December until January. Yeah. So a good 4 months. He's just gone another six games without scoring, hasn't he? So once he gets going, brilliant. But also a big thing's changed under Buckingham, which is wingers fizzing balls across the face of goal, which is what a number nine needs.
Yeah.
Obviously undermanning, if you go the whole season like we did undermanning and all of our goals are sort of wonder goals, and yeah, Harris chips in with a few, but on the whole, it's, you know, spectacular 30-yard goals. Brilliant. But going a whole season like that is statistically very unlikely. You're much better playing the percentages. Players like Owen Dale and Jacob and Josh Murphy are perfect for it. And the way they're both playing at the moment, I mean, it's sort of the perfect storm with Harris's position picking up. I think he's getting more used to that role, and those two being in form is incredible. And you look at the last game and go, Moore went down injured. We ended up playing the last few minutes without anyone. Brannigan went off injured, having, by the sounds of it, done something to his ankle, which he was struggling with anyway. Harris going off. You sort of look at that and worry. But at the moment, it's Murphy and Dale you want to keep on the pitch.
Yeah, and you know, we've talked a lot about the form of Josh Murphy recently, but let's talk about it some more. I mean, he's just looking wonderful, isn't he? He's looking like the player that we thought we had, you know, we had signed almost 2 years ago.
It was mentioned on the dub. Jerome mentioned it, and I spotted it at the time. Substitution was made for him to come off, and he was over on the left wing coming towards the Oxford fans. So the ref made him go off to the side of the pitch that he was nearest to, and he kind of went off on the halfway line and had to walk half the length of the pitch in front of Burton fans. And we were sort of giving him a round of applause. And you looked at the Burton fans on that side of the pitch where he had a fantastic sort of 35 or 40 minutes, you know, in that they could just watch him tearing their right back to pieces, and they applauded him. And it wasn't just one or two. Jerome said the whole lot. I'm not sure, but it was certainly a large majority of the fans in the Burton fans on that side of the pitch were applauding him. And it was like, wow, you know, like, yeah, they've recognised there that this guy's had an absolute worldie of a game.
Very unfootball-like.
yeah. No, it was. I mean, he had a fantastic game. You really, you know, Carl Robinson was right, wasn't he? You know, he's possibly the best player in League One.
Sorry, League One.
I was just going to say, I think the fact that under Robinson it didn't happen, under Manning, we saw glimpses, but it didn't really happen. I think it shows the mentality behind it, and that Dez has brought the best out of him. I think it's fair to say that when it's been over a year and a half, and under one manager, we've seen how great he can be. I think you've got to look at that as the sort of control.
It's come up a few times, I think, about Robinson when he signed Murphy and what everyone thought. Yeah, but nobody doubted when Carl said that. What they doubted was the 3-4 months that followed, where he was completely ineffective. And like you say, Liam, maybe that was because of Carl's management. Maybe that was, I don't know. Who knows? You know. But yeah, I know. It's kind of like we'd all kind of jumped down Carl's throat when he brought this guy in. I seem to remember everyone was quite excited about that signing.
Yeah. That was a wow signing. You know?
Yeah. And it kind of got leaked out that we were, you know, paying him pretty good money, and you know, it all looked really good with him. It's what happened on the pitch afterwards. It just didn't really click for him at any point. He was always in a kind of pairing with Yannick Wiltshire, wasn't he? Because they came in roughly the same time, and they were both kind of big signings. You know, hopefully he can be here next season. And I guess someone that's gone the other way, who there's going to be a big question mark over on Saturday now, is Marcus McGuane. If Cam Brannigan, if they say he can't play Saturday, which it seems like it's going to be very unlikely he's going to play Saturday, hopefully back Tuesday, there's going to be not a lot of reason to leave McGuane out now, unless there's something more going on. I don't know.
One name I haven't heard mentioned in terms of filling that central midfield role, obviously you've got McEachran, but Oisin Smith, like, he's not been spoken about since he was covering right back, but he's played central midfield a few times. He's, on the whole, done a decent job. He struggled a bit in one of the games when he was right back, and he got sent off stupidly earlier on in the season for kicking the ball away, obviously.
Scored a belter against Charlton.
Yeah, but I haven't seen much about him since then. Historically, you'd go McGuane's the safer pair of hands, even though he dipped out of form. I did hear someone phoned in after the Burton match to say Robinson often left him out of the squad for a few weeks so that he could recoup, and then he came back stronger. It's probably the same sort of thing, which it may well be.
Yeah, no, I mean, it'd be because McGuane on top form is unplayable. I mean, he's it's one of those funny terms, if it wasn't it, unplayable. Sounds like you can't play him.
Can't play him.
I mean, but yeah, he's hard to play against. It'd be interesting to see what happens with that, because they haven't said anything about Brannigan yet, but he walked out in a kind of a leg brace, didn't he? It seems like they might not risk him straight away if there's a chance he can play against Stevenage and Lincoln. I guess we'll see what happens in that role. But and the club have an option on him, I think, Marcus McGuane, for next season. The club have an option.
Yeah, I think so. It's in their favour, yeah.
Yeah, I guess we'll see what happens there. But these things are all going to be determined by, I presume, players' contracts have things where their earnings rise if we go up. I don't know. So there's all sorts of things to consider there. And I guess that's for the club to decide. But yeah, it'd be a shame if we don't see Marcus McGuane play for Oxford again. Because, you know, we saw at the start of this season what he's capable of when he's on top form. I mean, mostly, I think we all just want Cameron Brannigan to be fully fit again.
I think he's what you want when you when you're in a fight, and that's what we're in now. Like, we talked about this probably every pod since January. But now we're at the point where it's a four game season. Forget everything that's just happened, and see how you can get on. And you know, the truth is, if we win the next three games, then we're in the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. Where do you guys stand on this? Because I've heard this said quite a lot. Say we don't go up this year, say we stay in League One, and Cameron Brannigan has a chance to leave. If you could talk to him, would you tell it? Would you convince him to stay? Or would you look at his age, look at his career, and say, Cameron, thank you very much for the service, but you need to go for you now because you have stayed here enough. Or would you just say, look, it's up to you. Good luck. Do what you want to do.
I would obviously want him to stay. I think, you know, there isn't an Oxford fan that would disagree with that. But I was ready to say that January last year. Just being like, well, he's stayed for longer than most players would have. So the fact he stayed another 18 months at that point, I couldn't begrudge him. You're talking about when Marvin Johnson left, he said, if I can play in the Championship for 2 years, then when I retire, I'll never need to work again. And I can just be with my family the whole time. 2 years, that's all it takes.
Crazy,
and you can play in League One your whole career. And that's not the case. Yeah, you'll be comfortable for a while, but you will need to work again at some point. But 2 years in the Championship is enough. And then Marvin Johnson did what, three or four? Like he's had a decent Championship career since then. I wouldn't begrudge him at all.
No, I don't.
It's a fair point. I think you're right. You'd sort of say, you if you do go, you go with our best wishes, and then just quietly say, but the fishing won't be as good wherever you go.
Yeah.
Fishing's not going to be as good. But you know, go ahead.
Enjoy it.
But the
and
carp,
if I ever see
be
you
small carp, rubbish
in
carp,
a then red shirt.
Yeah,
has a little train on it. We're done. Forget it. Or a blue and white one. Although, thanks, Reading, for the other day. That was a good time to score. Shame you couldn't do it again, but thanks.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, we should talk about the kind of mini battle we're in with Lincoln City, because if this were the Premier League, they'd be waxing lyrical about it, the fact we're playing them next week and it's all kind of coming together at the same time. But it can't be understated the favour Reading did us with scoring that goal, because it changes everything. I mean, I was saying before we recorded, I hadn't realised this, but we've all been saying to each other, you know, it is in our hands if we beat Lincoln. And I hadn't quite twigged before Saturday that while that was true, the tiny little thing that Lincoln had in their favour is they could win all of their games but draw against us and it would benefit them. If we win all of ours and we draw, well, we're both drawing, but we win all of ours and we draw and we're the loser in that partnership. That goal that Reading scored and the fact that Lincoln only came away with a draw deprived them of two extra points, puts them 2 points behind us, and suddenly we're the side who can draw against them. So it kind of changes everything. Now, obviously, there's a game to play before Lincoln, and things could look very different again after that. But that was a huge moment in the season. If we make the playoffs, that was big.
I think there's always a danger as well that whoever wins the match between Oxford and Lincoln, providing we match at the weekend, let's say we match at the weekend, then come Tuesday night, whoever wins, the danger is that you go, oh, that was that scary game, relax a bit, and then screw it up in the next one, which, you know, we've all seen clubs do.
Well, the next one, which is managed by Mr. Steve Evans.
Yeah.
Who will adore a chance to deprive us of finishing in the playoffs.
Now, yeah, I did watch his interview post his match at the weekend. I've forgotten who they were against. And he didn't mention the ref at all. And then the last thing he says is, I'm not going to talk about refs. And that's it. End of interview. Oh, you just had to. He had to do it.
Couldn't help himself.
Now, talking of Mr. Evans and the Stevenage team, they have a game. We're recording this Monday night. They've got a game on Tuesday night at home against Barnsley. And then Barnsley on Saturday host Reading. And then they're away at Portsmouth and then Blackpool and Northampton. Now, Barnsley's form, I know we're looking, and I think a lot of people, it's a two-horse race, it's us and Lincoln for that last playoff place. Barnsley went from mid-November to mid-March losing just one game. And then since mid-March, they've lost 3 in 6. Their form has suddenly fallen off a cliff. And although they're not, you know, I think they probably are going to make that fifth place and that last playoff play. I think, you know, if we win all our games and draw that other game and then Lincoln do the same, there's a chance we could both make the playoffs. I think Barnsley could just be the team that at the end of it fall out.
But what's funny is we're going to play Peterborough this Saturday. And I think if we finish fifth, all odds are that we're going to be playing Peterborough in the semis playoffs. Is it even safe to be saying that? We're going to be playing, playing in the playoffs?
Firstly, what you just said wasn't funny. So don't start with, here's something funny. No, it's not. It's horrible. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Football is horrible. I don't like how it makes me feel. Don't know how angry it makes me. I don't like how sick it makes me. I can't stand it, but I can't switch it off. And you just know, yeah, we can talk about the Peterborough game, the Lincoln game, the Stevenage game, then the Exeter game, who all of a sudden, by the way, third in the form table. Ridiculous.
Who are Exeter?
Yeah, if you look at the last four games, I think they're really high, I think.
Oh, I guess we...
Or maybe it's six games.
Are we...
We're top of the four.
Yeah, okay. Exeter are fourth in the four.
Yeah, I mean, I just... But one thing you can guarantee is when we play Exeter, it will still be possible we can be in the playoffs or we can not be in the playoffs. It will be the most painful thing that you can imagine. That's how it will play out.
Oh, sorry.
And then it's a lottery as to whether we get in.
Sorry, Exeter and playoffs still gives me 2016 PSP. I'm not quite over it yet. Steve Tully. I still remember his name, the one who scored the penalty. Anyway, I'm over it. I'm totally over it.
I'm not a betting man. I occasionally do a sweepstake for the Grand National. So if I was, I don't think I'd be putting huge amounts of money on us simply because it is that real kind of knife edge, isn't it? It's, but as you said, you look back to these last four games and that game prior to that Bolton game, we all felt, I think everybody just felt, oh, that's it. We were dreadful. And we were, but we've seen a reaction. We've seen a reaction from the team that all of a sudden we are the form team. Yeah, it's only over the last four games, but hey, there's only four more games to go. So, you know, it's not, we're not now worrying about long runs of form. We're just on about next three games, and the players look together. There was a real kind of reaction at the end of that game and when the goals went in that the players really looked up for it. There was a real kind of desire there. And it's, you know, we talk about the players that aren't in the squad at the moment. Impossible to know what's going on in the background, but there also does seem to be a real togetherness in the squad, match day squad as it stands at the moment. And that, you know, like you say, Liam, it does make you feel horrible, football, because it is the hope that kills you. But equally, we could have a horrible kind of result on Saturday and next Tuesday and by the end of the season, you know, we're nowhere near it. Or it could be one of those seasons that you look back on and go, you know, where you remember those games? Do you, you know, that was the start of something. It could, that's why we love football.
It's also worth saying, if you were making a case for, if you had to convince a load of people Oxford can make the playoffs,
I do this internally all the time.
yeah. Looking at it, I mean, so Peterborough played yesterday. They have a league game on Wednesday against Port Vale. They're likely to win that game against Port Vale. No disrespect to Port Vale. They're likely to win it. If they do, it puts them 8 points ahead of Lincoln City. And they're probably thinking, we're in the playoffs. You know, it's going to take something crazy for us to not be in there now. they might look at our game as trying something different, trying something new, look, playing around with positions, resting a few players. Maybe we might just be one game a bit too early for that, but they might have a go. It's basically 48 hours after their last league game they'll be playing us, so they might have to rest people anyway.
Yeah, you're right. It's a Wednesday, Saturday rather than a Tuesday, Saturday. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
After the Sunday match as well. So
yeah, yeah. At Wembley and the emotion.
The same sort of split we have next week.
Mm. Yeah, they're then gonna. So we then go on to play Lincoln, who, they had those massive results, but since then they had a 1-0 against Leighton Orient, 3-1 against Carlisle, and then a draw with Reading. So they're not on sensational form anymore. They can obviously score goals. Everyone can see that. But 8 goals in the last 2 games for Oxford. You know, we can score a lot of goals as well. And then Stevenage are on the worst run of form they've been on all season. So I think if you were making a case for Oxford, there are positives there in each of those games. 3 games in 6 days, 7 days. That's like a weird thing to comprehend, but... are we playing 3 games in 7 days or 6 days?
See, this is, I have a real bugbear about this, where a manager
here we
will
go.
We're
not talking about football for the next 20 minutes.
Managers will go, we've got a really tough schedule. We've got 3 games in a week. Well, you're counting. You'll do what governments do and count the budgets twice, because you'll say, we've got 3 games in a week, because you're playing weekend, midweek, weekend. Then the following week you go, we've got 3 games in a week. But you'll count that weekend game twice. You won't then, you know what I mean? And it's I don't know what my answer to your question is.
I guess you could be standing on the Kassam pitch at 2:55 on, this Saturday, and say, 7 days from now, we will have played 3 games here.
Yes.
But that if you're there on Saturday, in 6 days' time, it's Friday, which is when we play the third game.
Right.
And that Friday and a half, isn't it? Because the Friday is a night game rather than a 3 o'clock kickoff.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's true. Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
if you were to say we're playing Stevenage, would you say next Friday? Or is next Friday the one that arrives next?
No. If I said next Friday, I'd mean the Stevenage game.
Right, the week on Friday.
This Friday is the day before the Peterborough game.
Yeah.
Okay.
And last Friday was the one.
The one just gone.
Is that what you do?
Yeah. Last Friday, this Friday, next Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was all.
Yeah. Anyway, we got 3 games in a couple of days. and then we have Exeter on the last day. So Liam, you're saying they're third in the form table?
Yeah, I don't know who they've played against, but what's the stat of the teams they've been playing against, Simon? Because you had a points total of...
I did, yeah. So in the last 4 games, they are fourth in the form table, but the opponent's points per game is 1.11, which is fairly low. Last 6 games, again, they're third in the last 6 game form table, 1.22, 1.23 was a bit higher. So they've not been playing, fantastic sides, but equally they have been getting results. It'll be Stevenage, Cheltenham, Burton and Shrewsbury are the teams they've beaten recently. So not teams that are in great form.
I think one of the many annoying things is we know what we need to be in the playoffs, and that's 82 points. That'll do it. I'm going to say now we're not going to get 82 points. I really see us struggling against Peterborough. I know they'll have played a lot recently. Oh, that's where it came from. That's where I started that little run. I know they'll have played a lot recently, but I just think they're always a really good side. Really well managed. They are very skillful as well as being big and strong. It's kind of like, I don't know how to, fortunately I'm not in this position, I don't know how to play against those sides, because you can go, we'll out football them. No, they're really good at that. Yeah. Okay, well, we'll fight against them, we'll have a bit of a tussle. No, they're good at that as well. And I don't know how you do it. the dub gave me a bit of a sort of glimmer of hope where they talk about they're either exceptional or they have an absolute shocking game. Like, well, let's hope for that. But it's all I can hope for.
I think if we can go draw, draw, win, win, if you can, you know, that's not beyond the realms of possibility. It gives us 8 points and it should be enough. Well, it would be enough because it means Lincoln haven't got maximum points. Is that right? Am I right in saying that?
No, because they could win.
Have you got us drawing with Lincoln? It depends. Yeah. If
we draw, draw, win, win, we'll finish on 78 points. The most they can finish on is 80, but they'd be on 78. Oh, their goal difference would do us, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Okay. Unless we absolutely 9-0 Stevenage. and
also, a lot. It's been mentioned a couple of times that they've got, unfortunately for us, they've got an easy tie on the last game of the season because they've got Pompey, who will probably be up by then and probably will have won the league. Well,
slightly hungover.
Yeah, yeah. But I think that's a bit of an old myth people say about promoted sides. Pompey will be buoyant in a party atmosphere, and I mean it's not at Fratton, which that would have been better for us, but you know, it's I wouldn't put too much into thinking they might let their guard down for a day. It's still a game of football. They'll, you know, want to see the season out with something, and hopefully our old will try and do us some sort of favour.
I think Mussinho, the way he comes across is they are not switching off for any game. He doesn't seem that, hey, we're all up, type person. Seems like, right, well, let's try and go into next season on a positive run of form and take it into the summer.
Yeah. And equally, they might be looking at a points total where they want to break 100 points.
Yeah.
Which they're still, you know, they could finish on 102. So that might be something they're looking at as, okay, let's, you know, let's break a record or, you know, break a century, whatever the, you know, I'm not sure what the highest points total would be, but it's certainly, you know, to make 100 points would be something they're perhaps now setting themselves as a target. So,
yeah. And of their remaining games, Lincoln, you know, Wigan, Oxford, Cheltenham, Pompey, it's obviously us they're most worried about. So we've got to take something from that, you know, it's, They're looking at us as much as we are them.
Cheltenham have taken some points off some teams in and around it, as have Wigan, and we're included in that. They've both taken points off us. So I don't think they're easy games, especially, you know, I would put them along the lines of Reading, actually, in terms of, yeah, you can look at the league table and go, they should win that, but they aren't easy teams to play against.
No.
True.
I'm not going to enjoy the next 3 weeks. I know that. It's going to be horrible. But at the same time, I really hope that I'm not enjoying the next 6-7 weeks. What a ridiculous thing we put ourselves through. But
True. It could turn, you know, a sane man to drink. Talking of drink, I've done a Fraser segue there. A fantastic Mr. Ox tweeted.
I was hoping you were going to go. There were boos at full time.
Boo! Oh, very good. There weren't. No, that's good. I like that. He was up in that there London recently at some swanky bar, and they had a beer called Beano, which I think was one of these kind of fancy sort of banoffee pie American IPA flavoured doodah. But it looked really nice, and I just thought that must be something when we get the new stadium and we can, you know, get nice bars, and I think Brighton do local beers and that kind of thing. I think that might have to have, you know, touch with we get the new stadium, but a guest ale, get a, you know, pint of Beano.
Yeah,
refreshes the parts of the bit. No, that was Heineken, wasn't it? But or Carlsberg, can't remember.
There was
Beano 106.
Yes,
that'd be sort of painful each time you look. Or Chester's 3.
Yeah. Oh God, yeah.
So yeah,
there was the club had. I don't know I think it is still going, that beer. It was it the Little Ox Brewery and brewed an Oxford United beer.
Yeah,
it'd be great. Yeah, like you say, in the new stadium, if there's, I don't know, sort of vans outside or something that's selling something local.
No, I think that it is something that, you know, hopefully they will they will make a point of improving the F&B, isn't it? Food and beverage or whatever the offer. But yeah, craft ales, little bars. It's a lot of local breweries are doing that sort of stuff. So yeah, you'd hope that would happen.
Right, stadium then.
Yeah.
Is it built yet? the current episode with the stadium started, I think, just under 2 weeks ago. BBC Oxford wrote an article saying there was a bit of a hold up with signing the heads of terms. It kind of took a lot of fans, myself included, by surprise. I'd kind of thought that was done and that it had been agreed, but maybe just had to be rubber stamped. And I think maybe that is the case, but it's not quite as simple as there seems to be talk that there's a bit of a hold up for some reason, but it's not really known why, and neither side is saying much about it. I think the council put a statement out, but it didn't really say much at all.
The sort of statement seems to read as, yeah, this we don't normally sign it off straight away. As if it's pretty standard, but the club definitely want it done. That's how it seems to come across.
Yeah.
Whether that's because it's election sort of talk floating around and you're like, right, okay, well, we don't want it not to go ahead because we waited to get it signed. Someone sign this and then we'll move on, type thing.
And there was talk that they're waiting, or that planning will be held up until the lease is signed. But then one of the stipulations on the lease is that we get planning permission. So it's kind of a bit chicken and egg. I mean, but, you know, until we know officially what's going on or what the holdup is, then it's kind of hard to say much about it, really, without sort of just going into hearsay. The caller on Radio Oxford after the Burton game, you know, was pretty good on it and made a good point. You know, if you can get on the planning portal and submit your comments in favour, that it all helps. We plugged that a couple of weeks ago and we'll do so again now. Yeah. If you haven't done that, it really does take 2 minutes. You know, we'll put a link in reply to this pod's tweet. Please go on and do that if you have a couple of minutes to spare.
And there's some information and the link to the portal is on the oxfox.org.uk website. So there's some information there. And like you say, Freddie, that, you know, we'll post that link up as well. But it's not something I've done yet. I've had a bit of a hectic week or two, and it's kind of like I keep making notes about what I want to say. And I think it's just the case I'll formulate that and please, send it off.
Please. Yeah. I really want a stadium.
I remember. Yeah. Yeah. It is something that, you know, as fans, we can have an influence on. You're right, Brazy. You know, the kind of heads of terms hold up and people say, oh, is it because of local elections coming up? Well, we've got a fan base of 8,000 or 9,000 that go regularly. We've got maybe another 30,000 or 40 maybe that would turn up for a big game. Those are the sort of numbers that will make a difference if, you know, because we're the majority of those people will be Oxfordshire based. Those are the sort of numbers that can make a difference between somebody getting elected and somebody not getting elected if there's a particular vote for a particular candidate because of a local issue. And I think we can, it shows how local politics, you know your vote can count. I think we're in some marginal seats in this area. You know, it's not a, well, it's always going to be blue, or it's always going to be red, or it's going to be yellow. You know, hopefully it's yellow for different reasons, but you know, there is that kind of politics is in flux at the moment, and your vote will count. And I think, yeah, not only maybe put that thing on the planning portal and do that, but maybe write to your either MP or prospective candidates and, you know, pressure them as well.
Imagine if it ended up being a yellow and blue coalition and then it didn't get permission. That'd stink.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's the Reds that are going, well, we want it.
What?
Yeah. But yeah, like you say, you know, we've got 5,000 season ticket holders. I mean, if if half of them were to submit comments on the planning portal, that's 2,500. That's seismic, you know. So it'd be really helpful if anyone who can do that.
Yeah, and not only, you know, you don't have to be an Oxford fan to necessarily support the stadium. You know, if you know somebody who lives in the Chirwell area or in the Kidlington area, whose family or friend or whatever it might be. So I think I'm talking of that. You can see what people have written as well. So one person I do know whose submission I did have a quick read of was Tim. So Tim from Stone in Buckinghamshire. Hi, Tim. So yeah, it is something we can all have an influence on, because I'm sure the people that don't want it will be trying to rally their troops.
Something we haven't spoken about, which we should touch on briefly, since we last spoke, the club accounts were published, and we did actually contact Kieran Maguire, who has agreed to come on the pod at some point in the next month to talk about his interpretation of that. If you're like me, and maybe most people, I don't always fully know what I'm looking at when someone shows me a balance sheet. I get a bit, what's it in the bracket?
Those numbers are big.
Yeah. And do we have that or not? Who's got that? Mm. But the general headlines seem to be kind of what Tim Williams was saying at the forum. The owners are covering losses, annual losses of around 6 million. And I think the outstanding debt is about 24 million now, which are figures that make you stop in your tracks. That's we're talking about a lot of money. I know they're soft loans, but I don't know. It's been thrown about and the question has been asked a lot. I do worry about the owner's interest should the stadium be rejected. I'm not saying they jump ship the next day, but that's obviously a big part of their plans here. They didn't wait very long before they were in the door to get the ball rolling on it. So it's obviously a big thing for them. And I think it's something that, we've all got to be keeping an eye on, I think, and taking an interest in.
Yeah, I think it also shows how important the stadium is. You know, the reason that they are having to put so much money into the club is because there's very little that the football club can make from the stadium situation as it is at the moment. You know, the food and drink, you know, be lovely to have far more things going on around match day. It's not financially viable to do that because we don't own our stadium. So you're absolutely right. It's a situation that until we get the stadium resolved will continue. We've not mentioned the women's team. No games recently, but they've got two more games this season, 21st of April and 5th of May. So we'll perhaps look more in depth at that come the end of the season or nearer those games. Any other business?
Not that I can think of. No. I just... It's sort of don't want the next few games to happen because of the angst it will give me, but also want to know what happens. So it's that horrible
Schrodinger's result, isn't it? It's almost.
Imagine if we lose the next two, I just reckon we'll win the two after and it'll still be painful and close and horrible. Mm. If we win the next two, I reckon we'll lose the two up. It's just, oh.
I tell you what's not going to happen is we're not going to win the next three and have a lovely day at Exeter on the last game of the season. Why can't it be that way? But,
well,
here we are, I guess.
Using exactly those words, but with a slightly different inference, why can't it be that way?
Fair enough. Yeah.
I just feel like Oxford United could now go, right, hold my beer. I'll show you why it can't be that way.
And is that a pint of Beano beer that they've given us?
I'm going to do one of those really annoying questions. Oxford get in the playoffs and you don't know what the outcome is going to be. Just you get a playoff spot and what happens, or England win the Euros.
Oxford in the playoffs.
I thought it'd be harder than that.
No. Wrong pod, I think.
Yeah, sorry. Take care of each other. Take care of yourself. Oh, sorry, Tom.
You did that very well, Fraser. I'd leave that in. I can have no more.
I would not dream of it. You go ahead.
Well, as Fraser so eloquently put it, Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.